Hello, this is Randy J. Barmore speaking once again. Hello, evolutionists, who I will debunk your theory in just a minute. Hello, everyone else. This will be a sixth session. I know last time we were supposed to be our sixth session, but this will be a redo of my original broadcast of, Archaeopteryx. And so, we will be covering some interesting points here about... Well, you know, when we're talking about evolutionary theory, you know, people believe that the fossil strata actually proves evolution, which is silly, because bones on the dirt, that all you know is it died. Anyway, but there's one fossil that gets paid most attention to. It has been proven wrong, but it is still in the textbooks as evidence for evolution. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to Archaeopteryx. Whoever heard of Archaeopteryx before, let's just call him Archie, so it doesn't sound so scientific. I've noticed that they always try to make something sound so more scientific. That's a lot of S's. Have you noticed that they try to make everything sound so more scientific in their terms? I mean, they have to use a scientific term, doesn't sound like science. It doesn't have to, okay, guys? You don't have to sound so smart. You're dumb, okay, evolutionists? But anyway, Archaeopteryx. What is it, Archaeopteryx? Archaeopteryx, 1861-1877. These consisted of several fossils from a single limestone quarry in Germany, each of which the quarry owner sold at a high price. One appeared to be possibly a small dinosaur skeleton, complete with wings and feathers. European museums paid high prices for them. Evolution debunked, 1985. Although no cross-species missing links, half of one half-species and half of another, had ever been found, something close to it had been discovered. As mentioned earlier, in 1861, a fossilized feather was found in the limestone deposits in Sonnenhofen, Germany, near Eichstätt. It was considered valuable, since it reportedly came from the late Jurassic strata, and there were not supposed to be any birds back then. Soon, another fossil was sold for a sale, always from the owners of the same quarry. We'll get into that later. The British Museum paid a lot for it, so in 1877, another bird with feathers was offered for sale. And this one looked like it might have the head a small dinosaur. In 1985, six leading scientists, including Fred Hoyle, examined the fossil and found it to be a hoax. And Fred Hoyle is an evolutionist. So, if an evolutionist says something is wrong, if evolutionist says that evolution is wrong, you guys are dead, guys. I mean, it's, you know, there's nothing you can do. He just proved it wrong. Okay, well, maybe not, but you can say he's drunk and not on drugs. I don't care what you say. I mean, Fred Hoyle is a pretty common evolutionist. He's made a lot of points. But anyway, we will cover 16 reasons why Archaeopteryx is a bird and not a reptile, let alone half bird, half reptile, and three reasons why it is a contrived hoax, a fake. Archaeopteryx, this is a big name for a little bird. A large word for a little bird. It really is. It means early wing. If you have a hard time with this, just call the little fellow Archie. He won't mind. Okay. So this is why it is a bird. If the Archaeopteryx specimens really are genuine, there are several reasons why Archaeopteryx can be considered to be a bird and not a reptile. One, scientists say it is only a bird and not a transitional species. It is significant that a special scientific meeting was held in 1982, a year before the furor over the Hoyle-Watkins declarations that Archaeopteryx was a hoax, which we will discuss shortly. The International Archaeopteryx Conference was held in Eichstätt, Germany, not far from the limestone deposits where all the specimens were originally found. At this meeting, it was decided that by the evolutionists that Archaeopteryx is a bird and not a reptile or half-bird, half-reptile. It was also decided that Archaeopteryx was not necessarily the ancestor of modern birds. Therefore, the scientific community now officially declares Archaeopteryx to be not a transitional species, but only a bird. 2. How could scales turn into feathers? Although zealous evolutionists have always claimed that this creature is descended of the reptiles and the ancestor of the birds, yet they do not explain how the scales on a reptile can change into feathers. 3. Bones like a bird, Archaeopteryx is said to have thin, hollow wings and leg bones, such as a bird has. Four, not earlier than birds. Archaeopteryx does not predate birds, because fossils of the other birds have been found in rocks in the same period in which Archaeopteryx was found. 5, it has modern bird feathers. The feathers on Archaeopteryx appear identical to modern feathers. A. Fiducia and H.B. Tordoff in Science 203, 1979, page 1020, says, but in Archaeopteryx, it is to be noted the feathers differ in no way from the most perfectly developed feathers known to us. 6, no intermediate feathers have ever been found. Transition from scales to feathers would require many intermediate steps, but none have ever been found. 7, well-developed wings. The wings of Archaeopteryx were well-developed, and the bird probably could fly well. 8. Wings designed for flight. The feathers of Archaeopteryx are asymmetrical. That is, the shaft does not have the same amount of feathers on both sides. This is the way feathers on flying birds are designed. In contrast, feathers on ostriches, rays, and other flightless birds, or poor flyers such as chickens, have fairly symmetrical fluff feathers. E. Olson and A. Fiducia, Flight Capability in the Pectoral Girdle of Archaeopteryx, Nature, 1979, page 248. The significance of asymmetrical features is that they indicate the capability of flying, non-flying birds, such as the ostrich and the emu, have symmetrical feathered wings. 9. No prior transitions. There ought to be transitional species from reptile to Archaeopteryx, but this is not the case. It cannot be a connecting link between reptile and bird, for there are no transitions to bridge the immense gap leading from it to the reptile. It has fully developed bird wing bones and flight feathers. 10. Bird-like in most respects. Archaeopteryx gives evidence of being a regular bird in every way, except that it differs in certain features. 1. The lack of a sternum. 2. 3 digits on its wings. And 3. A reptile-like head. But here are the explanations for all 3 points. Here they are. A. Lack of a sternum. Archaeopteryx had no sternum. Although the wings of some birds today attach to the sternum, others attach to the furcula, wishbone. Archaeopteryx had a large furcula, so this would be no problem. Don Gish in Evolution, The Challenge of the Fossil Record, 1985, page 112, says, it is obvious that Archaeopteryx was very much a bird, equipped with a bird-like skull, perching feet, wings, feathers, and a furcula wishbone. No other animal except birds process feathers and a furcula. B. Digits on its wings. Archaeopteryx had 3 digits on its wings. Other dinosaurs have this also, but so do a few modern birds. Modern birds with wing claws and include the Holtzin, Opisthocomus Holtzin, a South American bird which has 2 wing claws in its juvenile stage. In addition, it is a poor flyer with an amazingly small sternum, such as Archaeopteryx had. The Torco, Torcocorythaeus, an African bird, has claws, and the adult is also a poor flyer. The ostrich has 3 claws on each wing. Their claws appear even more reptilian than those of Archaeopteryx. C. The shape of its skull. It has been said that the skull of Archaeopteryx appears more like a reptile than a bird, but investigation by Benton says that the head is shaped more like a bird. Don Gish, once again, of In Evolution, The Challenge of the Fossil Record, 1985, page 1-12-1-13, says, it has been claimed that the skull of Archaeopteryx was reptile-like rather than bird-like. Recently, however, the cranium of the London specimen has been removed from its limestone slab by Whetstone. Studies have shown that the skull is much broader and more bird-like than previously thought. This has led Benton to state that details of this brain case and associated bones at the back of the skull seem to suggest that Archaeopteryx is not the ancestral bird. Marvin Lubernow, in the report on the Race and Debate in Decade of Creation, 1981, page 65. Most authorities have admitted that Archaeopteryx was a bird because of the clear imprint of the feathers in the fossil remains. Zoological definition of the bird is a vertebrate with feathers. Recently, Dr. James Jensen, paleontologist at Brigham Young University, discovered in western Colorado the fossil remains of the bird thought to be as old as Archaeopteryx, but much more modern in form. This would seem to give the death knell to any possible use of Archaeopteryx by evolutionists as a transition form. Sorry, it's dead. 11. Ornithologist agrees. F.E. Bettered, in his important scientific book on birds, maintained that Archaeopteryx was a bird, and, as such, it presented the same problem as all the birds. All other birds. How could it have evolved from reptiles since there is such a big gap, the wing and feather gap, between the two? F.E. Bettered, The Structure and Classification of Birds, 1898, page 160. So emphatically were all these creatures and birds and that the actual origin of aves is barely hinted at the structure of these remarkable remains. 12. Other birds had teeth. It may seem unusual for Archaeopteryx to have had teeth, but there are several other extinct birds that also had teeth. P. Moody, Introduction to Evolution, 1970, page 196 through 197, says, however, other extinct birds, ancient birds, had teeth, and every other category of vertebrates contains some organisms with teeth and some without, amphibians, reptiles, extinct birds, mammals, etc. Actually, there's a well-known bird that has teeth today. It's the hummingbird. And guess what? He is in a mix between a reptile and a bird. Okay. 13. Could be a unique bird. Archaeopteryx could be a unique creature, just as the duck-billed platypus is unique. The Archaeopteryx has wings like a bird and a head similar to the of a lizard, but with teeth. There are a number of unique plants and animals in the world which, in several ways, are totally unlike anything else. The platypus is an animal with a bill like a duck and has fur but lays eggs. In spite of its egg laying, it is a mammal and nurses its young with milk and chews its food with plates instead of teeth. A male has a hollow claw on its hind foot that it uses to scratch and poison its enemies. It has claws like a mole, but like a duck, it has webs between its toes. It uses sonar underwater. Platypus is definitely far stranger than the Archaeopteryx, and there are no transitional half-platypus creatures linking it to any other species. By the way, I don't even know how it could be possible. How could you have a middle of a platypus between it? By the way, I want to find out what kind of animal. They always use modern animals for how older, so-called older animals evolved from. First of all, that's a problem. Second of all, just a minute. What did the platypus evolve from? Huh. Maybe I'll do a whole study on that sometime, huh? Okay, 14. Totally unique. Regarding the Archaeopteryx, Romer, the well-known paleontologist, said this. The Jurassic bird Archaeopteryx stands in splendid isolation. We know no more of its presumed Thesodont ancestry, nor of its relation to later proper birds than before. That's by A.S. Romer, Notes and Comments on Vertebrate Paleontology, D19M, page 144. From his own study, Swinton, as an expert on birds and confirmed evolutionist, has concluded in Biology and Comparative Psychology of Birds, Volume 1, 1980, page 1, the origin of birds is largely a matter of deduction. There is no fossil evidence of the stages through which the remarkable change from reptile to bird was achieved. Other scientists agree. Here's an important statement from Astrom in Science News 112, 1977, page 198. It is obvious that we must now look for the ancestors of flying birds in a period of time much older than that in which Archaeopteryx lived. El Dunoy in Human Destiny 1947, page 58, says, "Unfortunately, the greater part of the fundamental types in the animal realm are disconnected from each other from a paleontological point of view. In spite of the fact that it is undeniably related to the two classes of reptiles and birds, relations which the anatomy and physiology of actually living specimens demonstrates, we are not even authorized to consider the exceptional case of the Archaeopteryx as a true link. By a link, we mean a necessary stage of transition between classes such as reptiles and birds, or between smaller groups. An animal displaying characters belonging to two different groups cannot be treated as a true link as long as the intermediate stages have not been found, and as long as the mechanisms of transition remain unknown. 15. Modern birds in same strata. Bones of modern birds have been found in Colorado in the same geologic rock strata, the Jurassic, in which Archaeopteryx was found in Germany. According to evolutionary theory, this cannot be for millions of years ought to be required for Archaeopteryx to change into a regular bird. If it was alive at the same time as modern birds, how can it be their ancient ancestor? Birds have also been found in the Jurassic limestone beds by researchers in Utah. By the way, Archaeopteryx. Find a picture of Archaeopteryx. You'll see that there's something about it that's just not right. And I'll tell you what. Archaeopteryx. That name surely sounds scientific, but it covers what many scientists consider to be yet another contrived hoax, which it is. Notice how carefully each feather is separated from the one next to it on the picture you're looking at. None overlay the others, as would occur if the bird was pressed flat by natural conditions. Instead, the artist carefully scratched out and separated, quote, feathers, unquote. 16. Modern birds below it. Not only do we find modern birds in the same strata with Archaeopteryx, but we also find birds below it. Richard Bliss in Origins, Creation Revolution, 1988, page 46. Also see Nature 322, August 21st, 1986. Science 2453, July 5th, 1991, says, "Perhaps the final argument against Archaeopteryx as a transitional form has come from a rock quarry in Texas. Here scientists from Texas Tech University found bird bones encased in rock layers farther down the geologic column than the Archaeopteryx feathers. No bird bones of any type have been found below the late Jurassic, but within the Jurassic, they have been found in strata with the Archaeopteryx, and now below it. Two crow-sized birds were discovered in the Triassic Dacum Formation in Texas. Because of the strata they were located in, those birds would, according to evolutionary theory, be 75 million years older than Archaeopteryx." Boy, man, you sure are crushing your theory, guys. Okay, we just covered the reasons why Archaeopteryx is a bird, not a reptile, let alone, you know, missing link. Now we will cover why it's not just a fake. It's not just a bird, guys. It's a fake. You know that? It's a fake. Three initial problems. Before considering Before considering the Hoyle-Watkins expose, let us first look at some other facts that overall this problem. You will observe in the following discussion that there are some observational differences between this and the preceding approach to the problem. For example, while some experts consider Archaeopteryx to have had a body like a bird, those who consider it a fake believe that fossilized body to be that of a reptile. Somebody took a reptile and carefully added wings to it. Here's important analysis. You'll want to listen to this carefully. Listen carefully. Like the later Piltdown man, Archaeopteryx seemed a perfect intermediate form. There are, however, disturbing analogies between Piltdown man and Archaeopteryx that have come to light with careful study. Both are hodgepodges of traits found in the form they are supposed to link, with each trait present and essentially fully developed from rather than an intermediate state, allowing for alterations. Piltdown's jaw was that of an orangutan. Archaeopteryx's skull was of a dinosaur skull. Moreover, Piltdown's man's cranium was a Homo sapiens skull. Archaeopteryx feathers were ordinary feathers, differing in no significant way from those of a strong flying bird such as a falcon. And the lack of proper and sufficient bony attachments for powerful flight muscles is enough to rule out the possibility that Archaeopteryx could even fly, feathers notwithstanding. But W. Frayer and P. Davis, Case for Creation, 1983, page 58-60. You know, that's actually one of the first quotes that's by creationist. Anyway, one, the three initial problems. Initial problem number one, a profitable business. There are those who believe the Archaeopteryx was a carefully contrived fake. It would have been relatively easy to do. The nature of the hard limestone would make it easy to carefully engrave something on it. Since the first Archaeopteryx sold for such an exorbitant price to the highest bidder of the British Museum, the second, produced 16 years later, had a reptile-like head and sold for a tremendous amount to the museum in Berlin. The owner of that quarry made a small fortune on the sale of each of those two specimens. Initial problem number two. Feathers added to a fossil? In those specimens, we find powerful flight feathers on strong wings, shown as faint streaks, radiating out from what appears to be a small reptile body. The head and body of Archaeopteryx is similar to that of a small coelurosaurian dinosaur, Compsognathus. The flight feathers are exactly like those of modern birds. If they were removed, the creature would appear to only be a small dinosaur, just a small dinosaur, only. If you carefully examine a photograph of the London specimen, you will note that the flight feathers consist only of carefully drawn lines, nothing else. It would be relatively easy for someone to take a genuine fossil of the Compsognathus and carefully scratch those lines onto the surface of the smooth, durable limestone. All that would be needed would be a second fossil of the bird as a pattern to copy the markings from, and then inscribe its wing pattern onto the reptile specimen. That is all that would be required, and the result would be a fabulous amount of profit. Both specimens did produce just that. Initial problem number three. All specimens came from the same place. Keep in mind that all six of those specimens were found in the Sonhofen Plattenkalk of Franconia, Germany, near the city of Eichstätt. Nowhere else, anywhere in the world, have any Archaeopteryx specimens ever been discovered. Living in Germany at the same time that these six specimens were found was Ernst Haeckel. He lived through 1834 through 1919. He would have been in the prime life at the time both specimens were brought forth. Haeckel was the most rabid Darwinist advocate on the continent, and it is well known that he was very active at the time the finds were made. He was continually seeking for new proofs of evolution so he could use them in his lecture circuit meeting. He loved verbal and visual illustrations, and it is now known that he spent time on the sign enthusiastically inventing them. It is also known that Haeckel had unusual artistic ability that he put to work, most producing pro-evolution frauds. He would fraudulently, whatever, touch up and redraw charts of ape skeletons and embryos so that they would appear to have proved evolutionary theory. He had both the ability and the mindset for the task. He could also make the money he would make. There was no doubt that Haeckel had the daring, the skill, the time, and the energy to forge those Archaeopteryx specimens. In those years, he always seemed to have the money to set aside time for anything he wanted to do in the way of lecturing or drawing charts. He even supported a mistress for a number of years. Perhaps some of that money came from engraving bird feathers onto reptile fossils and then splitting the profits of Archaeopteryx sales with the quarry owners. Well, that's all I will cover for now. The last point is one of those Archaeopteryx specimens. I don't know if they're just six. I don't know about this topic. But in either 2000 or 2001, it came out in National Geographic that the evolution was proven true. We have Archaeopteryx, the missing link between bird and dinosaur. We found it. Yay! 6 months later, oops, it was a fake. You know, Japan is a poor country, you know? I mean, you go farther back, just 20 years ago, this was just 20 years ago this happened, but... So, if you worked a whole year in Japan, if you worked a year, you would make $3,000. Now, that isn't even enough for a month for America. A whole year. But $3,000. But, so, National Geographic went over there. People in front. You know, National Geographic's always been devoted to evolution. It's been out since 1860 or 50 to 60. It's always been devoted to evolution. I mean, Scientific American used to be Scientific. Now it's just American. But National Geographic went over to Japan, and there was a man there. You know, he was poor like the others. So, you know, but he was devoted to artistic work. He was an artist. So they paid him $300,000 to do a simple job. Well, maybe not so simple, but simple for $300,000, that's for sure. So here's what they did. There were two fossils. One was bird, one was dinosaur. You know, parts of it. We covered this earlier. So he paid him to glue it together, to carefully draw lines leading to covering, you know, the parts where he connected it, and to carefully draw feathers on it, and that took him 11 months. They gave him over $250,000. $300,000. Do you realize that he could support his family for 300 years and not even work? He would be the richest guy in town. I don't even know if he was alive now, but, you know, how could he not take the offer, you know? It's not happening in Japan, you know? But why are we teaching this is science when you'd even lie to support it? That's not science. That's pseudoscience. You know what pseudoscience is? Pseudoscience is, okay, so you say this is true, and then you go looking for evidence. That's pseudoscience. Real science is, real science is, I think this might be true, and looking, then find evidence. That's science. Well, pseudoscience is the exact opposite. Well, and they say that creation is pseudoscience. Because they claim that it popped up out of nowhere and we're trying to find evidence. That is not true, okay? First of all, we don't even need to look for evidence. There's evidence enough. We're here. That's evidence. That's it. That's all we need. Second, it didn't just pop up. It's been here since it happened. Oh, wait. Maybe I shouldn't say that. 6,000 years ago. And third, you guys are the pseudoscience. You hypocrites. Hypocrites. You guys have the pseudoscience. And you have the pseudoscience in pseudoscientific textbooks, practically. Pseudoscientific. You guys said the evolution is true. It came out in... Well, it really started with Satan in the Garden of Eden. He said, "You shall be as God." We'll talk about that probably in the next session. But that kind of did pop up. Creation really happened. Well, it's kind of hard to explain, but yeah, that's pseudoscience. You guys are still looking for evidence. If we say you have no evidence for evolution, someone gets up in the crowd and says, "You're lying, I have evidence." Wait. Just a minute. If you had that evidence, why didn't anyone have it before? That'd be pseudoscience, because you just found the evidence, didn't you? And we've already had the evidence, didn't we? So that means we'd be right and you would be wrong. Right? I mean, come on. I think you're just trying to spread your religion to spread your theory. Why? Why don't you guys just admit to God and just say, God, you're amazing. Thank you for creating us. I mean, why can't you thank you for creating the world and instead you reject him and try to claim why he didn't do it? And then one day when the rapture happens, you say, oh Lord, I only follow in your footsteps. And he'd say, you didn't even look at my footsteps. Didn't even have my word. Come on, guys. What are you doing? Why believe evolution? There's no scientific reason to believe evolution. No scientific reason to reject creation anyway. Because we were lost, guys. Thank you so much. Tune in next week. Bye.